Welcome to the official podcast of Apostolic Lighthouse. We'd like to thank you for listening today. We pray this message blesses you and encourages you to see that God is working in your life. Enjoy the message.
So I want to talk on the subject, worshiping God's way. Worshiping God's way. And I'll read two verses to open it up here. John 4:23. But the hour cometh, Jesus said, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So we're going to tie that into our what we just talked about a little bit ago. So in the hour that we live in the day that we live in, you know, God has always looked for it ever since Jesus said this, but I believe even more, he's still looking for true worshipers that will worship not just their own way or what they think, but his way. Amen. They must worship him in spirit and in truth. So what does that exactly mean? Well, worshiping him in spirit, it's not a capital S, that's a small s. So that's talking about our human spirit. Now, our human spirit is our attitude. It's our enthusiasm about things. So that same human spirit that jumped up and down, that screamed in your helmet, is the same human spirit you use to worship God in spirit. Amen. So there should be no difference. Now, if someone never got emotional, you know, like the cartoon Droopy, I'm happy, you know, and that was about it, okay, then you're consistent. But if you do flips in the bleachers at the, you know, game, and then you imitate a statue at church, then that's not consistent. You're not responding to the power of God and the presence of God, amen, and just for everything that's going on in the service, amen, worshiping, you know, just being consistent. That's what God is asking us to do, amen, to worship him with our spirit, our attitude, our enthusiasm, our emotions, amen. It's when we put our whole heart into something. Praise God. And so, like, there's many things in life that we kind of talked about. People are wholeheartedly enthusiastic about, like, maybe their hobbies, you know, just, you know, getting out on your bike, sports, music, recreational activities of all sorts, to name a few. Some people, you want to jump out of a plane, you want to, you know, do all kinds of stuff, whatever it is. Go zip lining, you know, whatever. You know, whatever is exciting. But God is asking us to worship him with the same wholehearted enthusiasm that we give to these other things. And since he's our creator, and since he's our healer, and since he's our comforter, and since he's our savior, I believe we need to kick it up a couple notches at least. Amen. Praise God. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. What's that? That's my whole self. Those four things comprise everything that is about me. And we should worship him. If we're loving him with all those things, we should worship him like we love him with everything that is within us. Because like I said Sunday, he's done so much for us. We can't tell it all. We can't thank him enough. We could never pay him back. We can't praise him enough, but we should try. Amen. So that's worshiping him in spirit. Now, worshiping him in truth means that we're not just being zealous and emotional and enthusiastic and heartfelt without any direction, without any kind of, truth or, a way of doing it God's way, because we're talking about worshiping God's way. So worshiping in truth means worshiping him according to his word. Jesus, when he was praying to the Father in John 17:17, he said to the Father, he said, your word is truth. So we worship him in truth by worshiping him through his word, using his word. And the wonderful thing about God's word is that it lets us know how to worship him. Amen. And through 4,000 years of Old Testament history, amen, we see God's people, you know, worshiping him certain ways that he loved and that were sanctioned by him, and that he wants his New Testament church to praise him the same ways. Amen. So when we worship God the way he wants us to, we will see great things happen in our life. Amen. So it's, you know, enthusiastic, it's wholehearted, amen, and it's in truth in his word. Now, some of the ways the word, the truth tells us God wants us to worship him are clapping our hands. See, that's a demonstration of what's going on in my heart. Lifting our hands, lifting our voices, singing, playing instruments, bowing before him, and even dancing before the Lord. Amen. Let's look at a couple scriptures about that. Psalm, and some of these scriptures have a couple of these things combined in one scripture. Psalm 47:1, oh, clap your hands, all you peoples, and shout to God with the voice of triumph. Amen. And so the Bible says, the truth tells us to do that, and so we enthusiastically, you know, keep the truth, and we worship him in truth. Psalm 134:2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And we are in the sanctuary. This is a great place. We can lift up our hands in our car, at home, anywhere. We can be at Stater Brothers and lift up our hands because, wow, we got a good sale here, or whatever you want to do. Amen. Praise God. And, you can praise him for the little things and praise him for the big things. Amen. Psalm 98:4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Amen. One person said, you know, why are you, you know, singing so loud? Why are you praising God so loud in your church? Why is your instruments, you know, why is the drum so loud, or this is so loud? You know, it's God's not deaf. Let's say God's not deaf. And then I say, yeah, but he's not nervous either. He loves, amen, loud stuff, because it says right there, praise God, make a loud noise. Clap your hands, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Amen. Psalm 95:6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. So kneeling and bowing, that's not just praying. That's worshiping God too. Amen. That's humility. That's yielding to God. And then, of course, one of the greatest passages, Psalm 150, verse 1, says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Notice those first two verses have nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with how I'm feeling. Nothing to do with, you know, that I have to feel good, or they have to sing the right song, or all the everything has to be just right before I'm going to praise God. No, we're in the sanctuary. Praise him. You're in the firmament of his power. Praise him. Because of what he's done, praise him. Because of his excellent greatness, praise him. I don't have to have a reason. I don't have to, you know, oh, I got to feel something. I got to feel goosebumps, or I got to feel something. No, you don't have to feel anything. But let me tell you something. More times than not, if you start praising him from enthusiastically with your whole heart, according to the word, you will start feeling something. Because that's the way God is. He responds to our praise. Amen. Verse 3, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Amen. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. A timbrel is like a tambourine. Amen. Some people grab the tambourines around here. Amen. Linda, Mario, different ones. Go grab that tambourine. That's great. Grab it. Let's praise him according to the Bible. Praise the Lord. How about this one? Praise him, verse 5, upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. That drum set has some cymbals. Amen. And we can just beat those and praise him. Amen. So what do all these different ways to praise God have in common? They are outwardly demonstrative. Now, we're not just doing it, amen, outwardly, and our heart's not in it. It all has to come from our heart first. Amen. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I would say, out of the abundance of the heart, the hands clap and the hands raise. Amen. And we jump up and down for God. Praise God. So just like faith without works is dead, praise without action and movement is dead and ineffective also, because all of these things are outwardly demonstrative. Amen. If someone just sit there, maybe they just have their eyes closed. Maybe, I don't know if they're sleeping or not, but maybe they have their eyes closed. Maybe they're meditating. And then everybody praise God. And that person says, yeah, I'm praising God. And they're like as still as a statue. It's like, no. Amen. You're thinking about it. Amen. But when you start praising God, you're going to do one of these things, because we're worshiping him enthusiastically, heartfelt. Amen. In truth, according to his word. Because he honors and blesses biblical ways to worship him. Amen. Praise God. Now, you notice I didn't read a scripture about running around the church. And sometimes you see, we do that. Amen. But you know what? You can do some extra stuff. If you feel a run around the church, amen, you go ahead and do it. Praise God. Because that's demonstrative. I know sometimes I got to take a lap, because I'm up here. I'm ready to just like, you know, jump out of my skin. And I just hop off this platform and take a lap, because I can't hold back. I got to praise him. Something inside of me is wanting to move. When you're praising God, he wants you to move. Amen. Move, move, move. Praise the Lord. So Psalm 115:17 said, those who are dead do not praise the Lord. Now, I know that's talking about the physically dead, but think about it spiritually. Those who are dead in spirit do not praise the Lord. Like I just said, if you are worshiping him in spirit, you're not going to be dead in your praise. It's going to be obvious to you and everyone else. Not that anybody's, you know, praise inspectors around here looking to see if you're moving around. You know, that's not the point. The point is, when you're praising God, something's going to be happening. You're going to be waving an arm. You're going to be lifting an arm. You're going to be clapping. You're going to be singing. You know, you're going to be doing something. You get just getting out in the aisle and walking around. I don't know, whatever. Something's going to happen. Praise God. Amen. And so a person can't just stand still, sit still, or be still and truly praise God. They that worship him must, everybody say must worship him in spirit and in truth. Psalm 150 verse 6, I saved this last verse of that chapter for this very moment. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If we have breath, we are not dead. If we have breath, we need to use our spirit to praise God. Amen. And, you know, when someone is praising God, it's something that can be seen. All true praise starts in the heart and always manifests itself in action or movement of some kind. Amen. Notice this, Lamentations 3:41. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. So I'm not just lifting up my hands, maybe with my eyes closed, and we're singing a song, and my mind's already at lunch, you know, like, you know, I can't wait for lunch. So my hands are up, but my heart's not in my hands, because my heart's over at, you know, In-N-Out already or something. I don't know. That's not what we're doing, because he said, your heart's got to be in your hands. Lift up your heart with your hands. Amen. Put your heart in your hands. Put your heart in your feet. Put your heart in your voice. Amen. Put your heart in everything you do for him. So when we combine our wholehearted enthusiasm, amen, with God's word in worship, then the presence of God, amen, will come to us in a powerful way. Amen. Psalm 22:3, thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. God inhabits the praises of his people. When we praise him, he comes. And he never comes empty-handed. He always comes with gifts. He always comes with answers. He always comes with healings. He always comes with blessings. Amen. Now, what kind of praises are we talking about that he inhabits? Spirit and truth praises. Amen. In fact, Psalm 149, verse 6 said, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Does that mean there's low praises? I don't want nothing to do with low praises. I'm not talking about octaves or, you know, anything like that. I'm talking about high praises. That means spirit and truth, enthusiastic praises. Amen. Praise God. And verse chapter 22, verse 3 in the New American Standard Bible, it says this: "Yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel." So he inhabits the praises of Israel, but it's translated in another sense: you are enthroned. So when we praise God, we build a throne of praise that he comes and sits on, amen, and does great things. So what we're actually doing, we're praising him and worship him in spirit and in truth. We're building a throne of praise that God, as the King of Kings, sits on. And when the king's in the house, amen, he can speak the word and anything can happen. He'll come and sit on that throne and he'll just speak life and power. Ecclesiastes 8:4 said, "Where the word of a king is, there's power." And we praise him, and the king comes and sits on the throne we build in our praise, and he speaks. Amen. When the king comes, powerful things happen. Amen. When the king comes, miracles happen. Amen. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes when the king comes. And when we praise him, amen, you want to receive a blessing from God, you want to receive that spirit of God, it comes through praise. Amen. Fantastic and even amazing and miraculous and impossible things happen when we praise him. Praise God. I remember when Paul and Silas, they're just out there doing what Jesus told them to do. They're just out there in the city of Philippi preaching the word, preaching in Jesus' name. And a big old kind of riot kind of gets going, and people don't like what they're saying because they don't want nothing to do with it at the point, at time. And then the magistrates came and arrested them and threw them in prison and beat them and threw them in the inner prison. And they were in there, and at midnight of all times, when they could have just been saying, "Woe is us, man, Paul, this is what is this what we get for following the Lord? I don't know, Silas." No, that's not what they were saying. Amen. At midnight, you know what they were saying? They were praying and they were singing, amen, praises unto God. Praise God. Amen. So midnight is symbolic of, you know, dark times in our lives. But that's still the time to praise him. Praise God. And you know what happened? The place was shaken like an earthquake. All the prison doors flew open, theirs and everyone else's. And the result of all that, amen, the prison warden and his whole family were saved and baptized that night. And he gave Paul and Silas extra good care from that moment on and took care of their wounds. Amen. And then they were released that next morning. Praise God. So let's not only praise him wholeheartedly and enthusiastically, but let's praise him often. The more praise, the more power. The more praise, the more he comes. The more praise, the more he inhabits. The more praise, the more he enthrones himself. Amen. Notice this passage in Job. I like this. Chapter 36, verse 27. "For he makes water drops evaporate. They distill the rain into mist, which the clouds pour out and shower abundantly on mankind." You say, well, what does this have to do with what we're talking about? Amen. Well, the water drops are our praise and worship. It's the water that goes up in evaporation. Amen. Off of the ocean, off the bodies of water, even off, you know, you hose off your driveway and sun comes out, and then that's dry in no time. What happened to it? It evaporated into mist. It went up into the clouds, and it came down abundantly as showers upon mankind. And the water drops we have in the church are praise and worship. And the more water drops we put up there, the more rain is coming down. Amen. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain. We need the rain. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the rain, Lord. The Holy Ghost is the rain, Lord. Praise God, because what goes up must come down. Amen. Psalm 119, 164, that means the Bible said, "I will praise you seven times a day." Psalm 34, 1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Amen. So the more you praise him, the more chances you have to be in his presence. Amen. Now, prayer also gets us in his presence. Amen. But praise as well. And Psalm 16:22, I'll close with this. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. We praise Him in spirit and in truth and worship Him in spirit and in truth. He comes and inhabits that praise. And when He comes, His presence comes. And a lot of times you can tell, you can tell when the presence of God comes into the house. Amen. Many times it's just right here all the time. We walk in and we've been praying at 9 o'clock and the presence of God is already in the house and moving in a beautiful way. But then there's times in services where God's presence comes in even in a greater, stronger way when we all plug into something and we're all just focused and together, united in praise and worship. Amen. And you could just feel it sweeping through, and that's when anything can happen. Anything can happen anytime in any service. But man, when you start seeing and feeling the Shekinah glory of God coming in the house, amen. We need to just put our hands up and just say, Lord, I want everything you have right now for us. Amen. Would you stand?
What an incredible message. Thank you again for joining us on the podcast, and may God bless you.